The CBC drama series presents Barometer Rising, a story of Nova Scotia in the First World War. Barometer Rising, the novel by Hugh MacLennan, adapted for broadcasting by Rita Greer. Production is by Rupert Kaplan of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and it's presented by the CBC International Service. Barometer Rising by Hugh MacLennan, Part 1. Sunday.
The place is Halifax, Nova Scotia. The year 1917. Sunday, December the 2nd.
4 o'clock.
He had been limping around Halifax all day, and he was tired. He looked through the dirty window of the restaurant, saw the interior was empty, and went in through the double doors. There was a counter, a man in a soiled apron, a few tables and chairs, and a smell of mustard. No one he had ever known in Halifax would be seen in this place. He pulled out one of the warped stools at the counter and sat down.
Yes, sir. What'll you have?
Barbara and ham sandwich.
Yes, sir. Barbara and ham. You're English, I bet, eh?
No.
No? Funny, I thought you were an English fella. Kind of an English fella down on his luck. Where are you from?
Around here.
Halifax? Is that right? You've been over there, though.
Just got back.
I thought so. I can tell. Even demobbed ones like you. Mustard on your sandwich.
Thanks.
I was in it myself for a while. I didn't get very far. I got to Quebec. My wife thinks that's funny. She says when you get in the army, you started moving backwards before you even begin. How far did you get?
Okay, I was only asking. Here's your sandwich. Thanks.
It's okay. One, Bob.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
Okay, it's okay. No skin off my teeth. Here's your Bob.
Tell me.
Yeah?
Did you ever know... There's a chap I knew overseas from around here. Alec McKenzie. Corporal Alec McKenzie. Have you ever heard of him? Big Alec, we call him.
I knew an Alec McKenzie once, but he's a little fella. Wouldn't be the same guy, I guess.
Do you know Colonel Wayne?
Who? How would a guy like me be knowing colonels? Oh, I've heard of him, though. Wayne's pretty rich, they say. Getting richer since he came back, too.
Is he here? In Halifax?
Sure. I saw a picture of him. Hey, look out. That cut. Don't take a cut. My gosh, you shell-shocked or something?
That was only a streetcar went by.
You better sit down again.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'll pass.
Yeah, it's okay, chum. I've seen shell shock before.
Yeah.
Now, don't worry about the cup. You need coffee.
No, thanks. I'm all right.
You should take it easy. Yeah.
How much do I owe you?
Hey, sit down.
No, I'm all right.
Okay, it's a quarter for the sandwich and the bob.
Thanks.
You sure you're okay?
Yes, thanks. Tell me, this, Colonel Wayne...
Yeah?
Do you know that it... Would you know if he's in town now?
Well, I saw his picture in the Chronicle last week sometimes. I guess he must be.
Thanks. Good night.
And I saw a picture of his daughter, too.
Oh.
To do with some shipyard business or other. What's her name? Penn... something. Quite a looker.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Look out for yourself.
Penelope.
It was cold outside. He walked towards the intersection and waited for the streetcar to stop. It would be so easy to get into that car, to cross town to the south end, to climb the steep hill up to the Red House. Would it be just as he remembered it? It was 3 years since the last time. It was neither gracious nor beautiful, that house. In a way, it was almost forbidding. But it so typified the history and character of its town that it belonged exactly as it was. Solid British colonial, with a fanlight over the door, about 6 feet of lawn separating it from the sidewalk, 4 thick walls, no L's or additions, high ceilings and high windows, and shutters on the inside where they could be useful if not decorative. It would be so easy to cross the town, climb the street, and knock on the door, to take a chance on the right person opening it.
Benny?
Just a few minutes, and it would be done. And then, whatever else might happen, this loneliness, which welled inside like a salt spring, the loneliness would disappear.
Benny.
Spasmodically, he clasped one hand with the other and squeezed it hard. He turned quickly and limped north up the side street, away from the streetcar and the house in the south end of Halifax.
5 o'clock.
I'll answer the door, Sadie.
All right, Miss Penny. Supper's nearly ready if it's Colonel Wayne himself.
You stay with it.
I told Jim he needn't ring it again, Penny.
It makes such a wonderful sound.
You can stay out here and ring it all evening, Uncle Jim.
Sure, I'd love to.
Jim. It'll probably be much more amusing than supper. Well, this one is a bit of a celebration.
Oh? Who's celebrating what? Oh, where'll I put my hat, Penny?
Who's coming?
Well, Mariah and Alfred are here, judging by their coats. Good God, do they always have to take up a whole hat stand?
They'll hear you. I'll take your hat, Uncle Jim.
Thanks.
Your coat on, Mary?
Oh, thank you, dear. Who else is coming?
Well, Aunt Mariah and Uncle Alfred are here.
No, and we weren't in church this morning. The first thing Alfred's going to say...
Why weren't you in church? We meant to go. It was Jean held us up.
How is she?
Oh, just wonderful. We fairly had to tie the little bat or she'd have followed us here.
Unfair treatment of 2 years old.
2 years old? The way she's growing is almost indecent. You know, there's wickedness in her ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
Penny, when are you coming out to see her again?
Oh, this week, I promise. Somehow, if I can get away from the shipyards. They've asked for another speed up in the war work.
Oh, you're working yourself too hard, Penny.
Oh, no, I'm not really. Besides, you haven't heard my news. I had a cable from London this morning.
London?
From Whitehall.
The Admiralty?
Yes. They like my design.
Your ship? Your submarine chaser? Why, Penny, they've accepted it.
Penny!
I told you you weren't good.
Oh, don't be too sure, Uncle Jim. They'll probably only test it and reject it. But anyway, they've accepted the design.
Oh, it's simply marvelous news, darling. I'm so proud I could burst. Let's hug you.
No wonder you're celebrating.
Oh, Penny.
Oh, what did your father say when you told him?
Nothing much.
Isn't that just like Jeffrey? My God, what a family I married into.
Oh, it's Roddy.
Oh, come on downstairs, Roddy. It's only us here.
Oh, hello. I thought it was Major Murray.
Who?
Sadie told me Major Murray was coming for supper. Is he, Penny?
Angus Murray? Good Lord, is he, Penny?
I told you I was celebrating. Come over to the light, Roddy, and I'll fix your tie.
I didn't know you knew him, Penny.
Oh, yes, very well.
Penny, what does Major Murray drink?
Oh, Roddy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ouch, Penny. That hurts.
Hold still until I get it straight, then.
But I heard Uncle Alfred say he drank something terrible.
Roddy, you must be the champion liar of your class.
Well, he did say that. Honest, Penny.
I'm quite sure he did. Honest, Roddy. And you didn't know what he meant, either.
Well, does he?
You run along into the kitchen and try to keep your hands clean until supper.
All right. See you later, Uncle Jim. Aunt Mary.
And don't stare when you meet Major Murray, either.
Well, this promises to be a special evening.
Now, we'd better go into the living room before Mariah and Alfred burst with impatience.
Oh, heaven forbid. Now, put on your saddest face, Mary.
Oh, I will.
Well, at last. I thought you were going to spend the evening in the hallway.
Hello, Mariah.
Why weren't you in church today?
Well, how are you, Alfred?
Not very good.
Nonsense. There's nothing the matter with you. Tell me, why weren't you in church? There was a terrible sermon. I ran into Mrs. Taylor this evening as we came out. That woman I was telling you about in the Red Cross, she's dreadful. People like that shouldn't be allowed to take part in the war. And did Jenny tell you who she's asked here tonight? Major Murray. That doctor who used to ruin his practice with drink wherever he went.
Well, I haven't seen Angus in years.
Wasn't he in your father's regiment overseas, Penny?
He was about the only one left to tell of it.
Yes, he was medical officer until he was wounded.
What's that got to do with his coming here? I'd like to hear what Geoffrey says when he sees him. I'd like to hear that very much.
Major Murray's right arm is in a sling, Aunt Maria. You should adore him. He nearly lost it in the service of his country.
Well, ring the bell well enough.
Now, for heaven's sake, don't stare when he comes in. Roddy's already promised not to. And please talk.
That young woman's too sure of herself.
Oh, don't be an old fool, Alfred. After what she's done.
Stop. She should be ashamed of herself, working in a shipyard. What does a woman know about ships?
Well, that particular woman knows enough to make most men look sick.
Stop. She should be ashamed of herself. And this Murray...
Angus, I don't believe you know my family.
Oh, we met, Murray, just before you went overseas.
Why, yes. Jim Fraser, isn't it?
That's right.
Sorry, I can't shake hands.
Oh, good to see it isn't worse. I heard you had lost your arm.
I very nearly did.
My Aunt Mary Fraser, Major Murray.
Mrs. Fraser.
I'm glad we've met at last.
Aunt Maria, Major Murray.
Mrs. Wayne.
How do you do?
Uncle Alfred, Major Murray.
Mr. Wayne.
How do?
Well, they were going to amputate, I understand, Murray, weren't they?
Yes, some of my colleagues advised amputation. I had to battle hard to save it. It was pretty loaded down. Shrapnel splinter just below the elbow. My hand got peppered, too.
Well, you seem to have made a good diagnosis.
Thanks, it's improving.
Will you sit here, Angus?
Thank you.
Good. Now, Major, do tell us about your work.
Well, with this, Mrs. Wayne, I don't work.
Well, of course you don't now you're wounded. I mean France. I mean the war.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Well, that was just one unpleasant job after the other.
But you must have operated on all sorts of people we know. After all, you were in Colonel Wayne's battalion, weren't you?
Indeed I was, Mrs. Wayne. But you know, I can't remember that any of the boys in the dressing station mentioned you. Of course, they were usually pretty tired when the stretcher bearers brought them in.
Penelope, where's Geoffrey? I don't see why we must wait for him all night.
I can't understand why he's working on Sunday.
Why is your father still working, Penelope?
I'm afraid that's one of the things I can't tell you, Aunt Maria.
Nonsense. You mean you don't choose to?
Geoffrey works too much. He's almost as bad as you, Penelope. Though I must say there's some sense to his job.
Dear Alfred, do you realize you're talking to probably the best ship designer in Canada?
Who?
Penny, of course.
Good Lord, can't you people get it into your heads that Penny's not working at the shipyards for amusement? Why, to hear you talk, a man would think her work was nothing better than knitting socks for the Red Cross.
And what's better than the Red Cross?
Penny has designed a warship. That submarine chaser of Penny's is a revolutionary design.
A revolution. Stuff.
And this is supposed to be a new country, with people like you in it.
I suppose it's a crime nowadays not to believe that the newer a thing is, the better it is.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Alfred. It's not a matter of Penny's work being new. It's a matter of it being good.
But who says it's good?
I'm under the impression that the British Admiralty think it's good, Alfred. You find it necessary to be shocked at that?
Please, if it will make anyone feel better, I don't deserve the credit for the wretched thing. The whole idea for the design wasn't mine at all.
Whose was it, then?
It was Neil's.
Penelope, you don't know what you're saying.
The father came in, Aunt Maria.
You have no right to mention that name in this house.
Aunt Maria.
Wasn't it enough that he disgraced the whole family without your...
Maria, for Major Murray's benefit, don't you think you might spare our feelings on the subject?
Geoffrey, she said...
As for what Penny said, Neil ought to have been able to design a good ship. We never could interest him in doing anything else. Kindly spare Major Murray the details. I believe the Major knew our nephew personally. Neil McCrae, Major.
Oh, yes, in our battalion, of course.
This is a pleasant surprise to find you here, Major. I hadn't been aware that you people knew one another. Now that my daughter's a professional woman, she's always surprising me. Quite pleasantly, I may say.
Supper is served, Miss Penny.
Oh, thank you, Sadie. Shall we go in?
Would you like to go in, Major, or would you care to miss the soup course and join me in a whiskey and soda instead? I'm sure the others will excuse us.
Oh, of course, Geoffrey. Well, shall we go, Mary?
I'll get Roddy down. Go right in, Aunt Maria.
Do you still have a palate for scotch, Murray?
I'm supposed to like it.
That's one advantage to being involved in wartime shipping. One can get good port and good cigars and good whiskey. Otherwise, it's a clerk's job. Say when.
Thanks. I've heard it's Fairly responsible, your job.
Transportation officer? Some people tell me it is. But it's not what an officer on active service should be doing. Oh, I hope this suits your taste.
Thank you.
To complete recovery for that arm.
Thanks.
That is good.
Very.
You must find it pretty dull back here.
Hmm? In Halifax? Oh, no. If I had a job, it wouldn't be so bad.
With that arm, that's difficult. Tell me, Murray, what impressed you most in France?
Oh, loneliness, fear.
You knew my nephew, of course.
I wasn't thinking of McRae when I said that.
I didn't presume you were. Most men are afraid. The ordinary man is afraid all the time, particularly of his neighbor's opinion. That's the main thing that gets him into the army and keeps him there. And when another sort of fear becomes stronger than that one, he panics. I fancy we both know that to be true.
Well, frankly, I haven't enough experience of armies to be able to agree with you.
With Neil McRae, it's a great pity about Neil. He had real ability. He knew a great deal, but he was always too unstable to make it count.
Your daughter seems to have a high opinion of him.
He grew up in this house. He was virtually Penelope's brother. You knew him well?
If you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about Neil McRae. I only knew him casually, and he seemed a good fellow.
But you were there the night of the attack.
I was in the dressing station. I merely heard the next day that he had been blown to pieces.
You knew, of course, that he was under guard at the time?
I was told so.
You realized his arrest was not a particularly pleasant decision for me to have to make?
Please, I really don't think
I... No! Now that both of us are out of the battalion, I'd like very much to take the opportunity of saying this to a brother officer. There is no doubt whatever that my nephew's flagrant disobedience of my orders in the middle of the attack that day was responsible for the failure of the whole operation.
That's a serious accusation. There were a great many men killed.
I believe there are only three of us left. It was perhaps as well that shell found him. A court-martial would have been extremely painful.
Court-martial?
It would have been my duty to appear as chief witness against my nephew.
But he...
He would have been shot.
Good God. I think we should go in.
Yes, they should be through the soup by now. Our maid is a Newfoundlander. She becomes very annoyed if we miss more than one course. And so she should. After you, Murray.
7 o'clock.
Oh, thank goodness they've gone. You comfortable?
Mm.
Cushion?
No.
Brighten up the fire?
No.
A drink?
Yes, but not this minute.
Poor Angus. I'm afraid I've given you a pretty bad evening.
Different from my usual run, at least.
They are grim, aren't they?
Well, now I know why this house needs such high ceilings. Your Aunt Mariah alone needs a good many cubic feet of airspace.
What's going on behind that funny smile?
I was thinking about you.
Oh, Angus, I'd expected a better reply than that.
If you could see the shape of my thoughts, you'd probably think the reply adequate enough. Penny, I suppose you're one of the most brilliant women in Canada.
I doubt it.
It's very nice, but it inhibits me. It's not easy to tell a genius. She's adorable.
It must be awkward. I'll get you a drink. As Father says, there's one good thing about being transportation
Don't,
officer.
Penny.
Just here. Yes, a glass even. Would you like to fix it, Angus?
I'd much rather you sat down again.
I...
Really?
All right.
Good. Penny, are you as lonely as I am?
I don't know.
We're both mature people. Even if I am 18 years too old for you. You probably know I was married before. I need to blame her death for all those years of letting everything slide and drinking. Penny, I don't know whether you give a hoot in hell for me, but I do know it's no good either of us going on as we are.
Do you think I'm doing so badly then?
I don't know. Are you?
I have my own work, and I like it.
I had my work, too, and I liked it. No, it doesn't sound convincing. With a body like yours. No. Besides, you could still have your work. With me on your hands, you'd probably need it. Penny, I'm trying to tell you,
I want you to marry me.
That's the nicest thing anyone has said to me in years.
Never mind. I've always been noted for my nerve. I will have a drink.
I didn't mean it the way you think. Angus, you don't really know me. If you did...
I've always estimated myself high as a judge of women. I admit I didn't know how good you were at your job, but that's got nothing to do with your being a woman.
I'm afraid you don't even know so much about me as a woman, Angus. I don't mean that to sound nasty.
You're not in love with someone else, are you?
Come on back here and sit down. I'll tell you my story.
As you like.
Would you rather I didn't? I never tried talking about myself to anyone yet.
You were in love with your cousin, Neil McRae. If you like, you can go on from there.
Yes, you are a good judge of women, Angus. Did you know him well?
Not very. We were both in your father's battalion, of course. But the M.O. in any outfit hasn't much chance to get acquainted.
Father spoke to you about him tonight, of course.
Yes.
Was Neil really killed?
What the devil do you mean?
Father hated him. I think he hated him from the time he was born.
But you...
Since Father's returned from France, I've heard nothing but hints and whispers about Neil. The whole town's heard them. You must have heard them. Father never mentions it outright, but it's hardly an accident that everyone thinks Neil would have been shot for cowardice if he had lived and that Father's discharge from active service was Neil's fault.
Your father wasn't discharged. He was transferred.
Oh, never mind. We both know about that kind of transfer. Please tell me, was Neil really killed in action?
A penny. In this war, no one can afford an excessive imagination. If a man's killed, it's a recorded fact. If he's missing, that's recorded too. Mistakes are possible, but they're not probable.
It'd be as easy to believe I were dead myself.
Penny...
I mightn't be so silly if someone would tell me what happened that day they say he was killed. Will you?
Well, I don't know whether I can. In the first place, I only know the story secondhand. McRae disobeyed an order of Colonel Wayne's in the middle of an attack the battalion was making.
What sort of an order was it?
I'm afraid I don't know. The colonel had lost touch with his battalion for several hours. That's a thing that might have happened to anybody. Don't make too much of it. But it meant the colonel had to send his orders up to the front by runner. I think your cousin was the first frontline officer the runner encountered. He may well have been the senior officer on the spot. All the company commanders had been killed, I know.
And then Neil disobeyed the order, according to Fox.
Perhaps. Maybe he misunderstood it. Or perhaps it was an impossible order to carry out. In any case, McRae was charged with disobedience.
The attack, of course, was a total failure.
I really saw one that wasn't in 1915.
Father was blamed for it and sent home where he couldn't do any more harm.
You're obsessed with that angle.
I don't believe Neil was afraid. He might have felt fear, but I don't believe he could ever have been incapacitated by fear. Either he or my father was wrong, and my father has made him responsible.
I wouldn't put it that way. There are no drumhead court-martials in the British Army. All orders are given in writing. And if the boy had obeyed, well, all he'd have had to do in any case was to produce the written order. But no court was held, of course. The German bombardment was a few hours later, and he was killed, along with everyone else, except Wayne and me, and the corporal.
Thank you, Angus. For 2 years, my family has been insinuating that if Neil had faced a court-martial, he'd have been shot. In that event, presumably, Father's military career would have marched gloriously on, and he'd not be in Halifax now. Oh, they don't mean to persecute me, but that's what they'll never let me forget. If Neil had been convicted before he was killed, Father would have been freed of all official responsibility for the failure.
That's stinking rotten. Penny, why don't you get away from here?
And leave Roddy to them?
If this war lasts as long as your father thinks it will, this old hand of mine may see service again.
Joe Angus.
Poor Penny. Hold on. Here. Here's my handkerchief. There now. It's better now you've talked it out.
You're very good to me. I ought to know better than this. Thank you, Angus.
Penny, if you'll let me, I'm going to keep on coming around to see you.
Please, Angus. you.
No, I think I'll call myself a taxi. Where is the telephone?
In the hallway. I'll come with you.
Eight o'clock. In the north end of town, he entered the drugstore. The stale, sour smell of the telephone booth hit into his nostrils when he closed himself inside.
Number, please.
I'd like the military hospital.
One moment, please.
Military hospital.
Yes. I wonder... I want to locate someone.
What division, please?
Oh, I don't really know.
Name and rank, please.
Corporal Alec McKenzie.
Hold the line.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to take you.
Hey, aren't you... Look, for Pete's sake.
Hello?
You old reprobate.
Are you there?
Yes.
There is no Alec McKenzie here, sir.
Well, if it isn't Neil McRae.
Hello, Charlie.
That was part one of Barometer Rising, the novel by Hugh McLennan, adapted for broadcasting by Rita Greer, and produced by Rupert Kaplan of the CBC. The music was composed and conducted by Neil Chotem. Bud Knapp was featured as Major Angus Murray, with Mary Douglas as Penelope. John Hempstead was Neil McRae. Eileen Clifford was heard as Mary Fraser, Albert Miller as her husband Jim. Elena Stewart was Mariah, her husband Alfred, Gerald Rowan. Colonel Jeffrey Wayne was Ned Conlon. Steve Woodman played the counterman. Jill Stowell was Sadie the maid. Bill Walker was young Roddy Wayne. The timer was Bill Roberts, and the narrator, Norman Keel. Technical operation, Jean-Jacques Roy. Sound effects, Albert Ross and Maurice Hébert. This is part of the drama series presented by the CBC International Service.